Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Homeopathy World Community Blog Talk Radio, creating waves of awareness over the airwaves, via the internet, and by friends telling friends they care, working in unity to promote homeopathy around the globe. Every Sunday through Thursday, join us for a personal tour of Who's Reading the Organon, a show hosted by HWC founder and homeopath Debbie Brook. She invites you to comment and call in to contribute your thoughts as we complete reading Samuel Hahnemann's Organon. Let's go!
Hi, I'm Debbie Brock, founder of Homeopathy World Community. We're taking a little bit of time out in the day to begin with some inspiration to talk a bit about current events and to read the words of Dr. Samuel Hahnemann in his Organon of Medicine. And today we'll be reading aphorism number 82. Today is September 28, 2010, and you're listening to show number 102. Thanks so much for joining me. I was taking a look at the charts yesterday, and it looks like there's over 7,000 listens to the show. That sounds really, really good to me. And don't forget, you can listen later on your iPod, on your computer, by downloading the archives. Today's inspirational quote is one from myself. It just says, the internet is like an online free college or an online free university. All the information is there. You just get on there and surf, investigate, explore, be an adventurer, and study. And I'm also going to tell a little story because this caught my attention. It is about an inspirational thought, a meditative thought that I've used over and over again in my guided imageries and in helping people heal. I ask them to say this quote, day by day, in every way, I'm getting better and better, and repeat that over and over again. But I never knew where that came from until yesterday when I was surfing, and it came up, and I found out where that originated from. And here's the story. It's called Shamu's Lunch. At SeaWorld, our grandson absolutely refused to see the show featuring Shamu, the killer whale, but he wouldn't tell us why. No amount of cajoling or persuading could get him to change his mind. Later, when we got home, we discovered the reason he had been so reluctant. His aunt, when telling him how exciting the show would be, had told him, quote, they choose children from the audience to feed Shamu. Well, you know what? That doesn't go with my quote, but it was supposed to be a little bit of humor to start the show off, and I hope you did find that funny, what kids think and what we say to them and how they respond and understand what we're telling them, that he might have been fed as part of Shamu's lunch. And here we go with the story of day by day, in every way, I'm getting better and better. Around a century ago, a Frenchman named Emile Coué coined a phrase that could change your life. It's an often quoted phrase that you've no doubt heard before, and one that initially doesn't seem terribly remarkable. Coué was a psychologist and pharmacist who believed that most mental and physical illness was a result of the person's thinking. He discovered that he could help the recovery of a patient simply by praising the effectiveness of the medicine to the patient. We are often our own worst enemy. We think negative thoughts all the time to a certain degree. And over time, these negative thoughts take their toll. They taint how we see the world. Auto-suggestion or affirmations can counteract this. Coué experimented with different phrases for different conditions, but his most well-known affirmation is, quote, day by day, in every way, I'm getting better and better, unquote. I encourage people to use that every day as often as they wish. Just let it be a mantra that's in the background. The beauty of this phrase is that it implies there are improvements taking place in your life right now. It also implies that these will continue to take place into the future and that these improvements will happen in every area of your life. Now, the article says if you mumble this phrase to yourself half-heartedly a few times, it's pretty obvious it will do nothing for you. But if you concentrate on really meaning it, if you focus completely on the affirmation and say it with real feeling and conviction for 10 minutes, then you will start to notice an effect. 10 minutes is a really, really long time when you're repeating a phrase over and over again. In fact, the best approach is to do this for 10 minutes every evening before you go to bed. If you do this for 2 weeks, then you'll be raving about how awesome it is. Try to be open-minded skeptic when it comes to these things, and rather than take someone else's word for it, test it out. Be the scientist. Judge for yourself. I'm wondering if we as a group on HWC or any of the listeners out there would want to do a real informal study and really test it for a set time, 2 weeks, and see what happens and post our responses and effects on our lives. That would be pretty fun to do. So if you're feeling tired and run down physically, or you're having a hard time getting up in the morning or going to work or whatever it might be just the phrase that you need to tell yourself. So that is the inspiration for today. And on the HWC network, Dr. Sushil Bal has been posting wonderful articles about how you practice homeopathy. In the latest one, he's given us what are the limitations to our practice. And previously, yesterday, he gave a really great article about recovery, palliation, and cure. Thank you so much, Dr. Sushil. It's really great articles. Also, in the world news, they just reported that gargling with salt water is helpful for colds. Now, everybody and their grandmother probably knows this, but when they do an official study, it makes a difference in how the medical community will actually view it. Maybe they will actually recommend to persons who are having a cold and contracting a cold to use this method of gargling with salt water. We also know how many people use a neti pot with some salt water to rinse out the nasal passages. We know that these are helpful methods for clearing out mucus, clearing out bacteria and virus, clearing out the passages, reducing inflammation in the nasal tissues, in the throat, in the mouth, when you have this type of cold infection where you have a sore, irritated, raw, scratchy throat. So there's an entire column in the New York Times about it where you can get on there and work on the discussion. It comes from a randomized study published in the American Journal of Preventive Medicine in 2005, where the researchers recruited almost 400 healthy volunteers and followed them for 60 days, that's 2 months, during the cold and flu season. Some of the subjects were told to gargle 3 times a day. At the end of the study period, the group that regularly gargled had a nearly 40% decrease in upper respiratory tract infections compared with the control group. And when they did get sick, gargling tended to attenuate bronchial symptoms. So if you want to learn more, I'm going to put the post on there about the background, about how gargling to wash the throat is performed in Japan as a regular hygienic routine, probably similar to the neti pot, and all about this randomized control trial. You know, it's interesting that this information is coming out now in 2010 when the trial took place in 2002 and 2003. I really feel as if there is a trend where the medical community is now looking back to natural methods of healing. Just the old, let's not call them old wives' tales. Let's say that these are methods that have been used for generations and generations, and we're going to search out how they work a little bit, or try to give a little bit more clinical trials and evidence to them with data, as opposed to just knowing it works, just like homeopathy, it works. Okay. I also heard on the news that somebody might want to check it out that there was a landslide in Mexico today. A lot of people are under the ground and in trouble over there. So there is also an article, a call for papers by El Salvador that was posted by the Similima team. I want to thank them for posting that on Facebook to let people know that in 2012, PEC, Patient Education and Counseling, that's the Communication in Complementary Medicine Approaches in Healthcare, Patient Education and Counseling, plan to publish a special issue on Communication in Complementary Medicine Approaches in Healthcare. The scope of this special issue is not the state-of-the-art complementary and alternative medicine, that's CAM interventions, but rather issues involved in several aspects of the communication about CAM, especially complementary medicine, which they say is CM. So important themes and topics are the definition of CAM, integrative medicine, the place that CM has in healthcare, the need for patients to have this information and how we express it, the role for the healthcare practitioner in promoting and delivering complementary medicine, and CM for patients with chronic and life-threatening diseases, traditional medicine in cross-cultural perspectives and its use by minorities, the implementation of complementary medicine in integrative primary care settings, communicating the results of these complementary medicine studies, the guidelines, and the training of healthcare providers, and the role of complementary medicine in the medical curriculum, in undergraduate studies in medical school, and in the graduate residency program. So if you have any words, any additions, contributions that you can give, please contact Similima.com, S-I-M-I-L-I-M-A.com, Homeopathy Education. And I'll put the link on the blog for that. If you have concepts and ideas that can help get the word out on complementary medicine, which goes along with learning how to use the neti pot and use saltwater gargles for your sore throats. We're going to move on to our aphorism reading for today. And it says, aphorism number 82 from Hahnemann's Organon, quote, although by the discovery of that great source of chronic diseases, as also by the discovery of the specific homeopathic remedies for the sore, medicine has advanced some steps nearer to a knowledge of the nature of the majority of diseases it has to cure. Yet, for settling the indication in each case of chronic psoriatic disease, he is called on to cure the duty of a careful apprehension of its ascertainable symptoms and characteristics is as indispensable for the homeopathic physician as it was before that discovery, as no real cure of this or of other diseases can take place without a strict particular treatment, individualization of each case of disease, only that in this investigation some difference is to be made when the affection is an acute and rapidly developed disease and when it is a chronic one, seeing that in acute disease, the chief symptoms strike us and become evident to the senses more quickly, and hence much less time is requisite for tracing the picture of the disease, and much fewer questions are required to be asked. He provides a footnote here. As almost everything is self-evident, then in a chronic disease, which has been gradually progressing for several years, in which the symptoms are much more difficult to be ascertained. The footnote states, hence the following directions for investigating the symptoms are only partially applicable for acute diseases. So here, Hahnemann is returning us to the difference between what is an acute and what is a chronic disease. In the previous aphorisms in 81, he was telling us, well, he introduced the idea about SORA, about chronic diseases, about his aha discovery that there is a miasm, the fundamental one being SORA, and that you have to have utmost care in the selection of your remedies, that when you're looking at a chronic illness, it's not going to be able to be handled with most of the remedies totally, but that there's this underlying weakness that needs a homeopathic remedy to help alleviate and cure. And so he's returning us again, just because now we have a little bit of extra wisdom, that we shouldn't get too wise for our britches. And we have to now go back to being the objective observer, to being a blank slate, to letting the person come in and with their symptoms, using individualized medicine, individualized care for that one person. And to say, is this something that I can ascertain on the spur of the moment? The intensity is so great. It's a self-limiting illness. It's going to come and it's going to go. It's basically an acute illness, like an injury, an accident, a cold, and that it's not something that is long-term, something that is going to take place gradually increase over the life of the person, which is what he explained all previously in the previous aphorisms concerning what is a chronic disease, that the person can keep it at bay for some time through good lifestyle, good living, but then it eventually will come into play in the person's life and the symptoms will begin to show over the long term. So here he's saying that we have had a lot of knowledge. We have diagnostic tests to find out about what's happening inside of our body. And we have also gained a lot of homeopathic knowledge about remedies, about the chronic diseases, which he's telling us. Yeah, we've learned about the miasms. But now we have to always be sure to know if we're looking at an acute or if we're looking at something that is going to be more deep-seated. And that is aphorism number 82. And we're going to move on to aphorism number 83. This individualizing examination of a case of disease, for which I shall only give in this place general directions, of which the practitioner will bear in mind only what is applicable for each individual case, demands of the physician, in capital letters, nothing but freedom from prejudice and sound senses, attention in observing and fidelity in tracing the picture of the disease. So it's a short one-line aphorism, number 83, telling us again that it's individualized medicine. We have to examine each case as it comes to us. We're not grouping. We're not referring back to any of another person who was similar. We're just taking this as a blank slate and looking at that person. What is unique? What has changed from the healthy state to the ill state? And that's what we're really looking for. And here he says it's freedom from prejudice. And it's very difficult for a homeopath to put aside the experience that they've had in the past, to automatically bring up ideas, but to allow the information to come freely, unbiased, and also to use, he's bringing here sound senses, meaning you're using your skills and art and observation. Nahili, or one of the members yesterday, had put in a really great quote, and if I remembered what it was, I would tell you, but basically she was saying that if only she could learn to hone her skills in observation, she wouldn't even need to listen to somebody speak, because you could tell by the way that they walk, their gestures, the odor that they bring into the room, when you touch them, what their skin feels like, just all sort of the brightness in their eyes, just everything about them, you would be able to learn so much from them. Aphorism number 84, we're going to go ahead and move on to that one. The patient details the history of his sufferings. Those about him tell what they heard him complain of, how he has behaved, and what they have noticed in him. The physician sees, hears, and remarks by his other senses what there is of an altered or unusual character about him. He writes down accurately all that the patient and his friends have told him in the very expressions used by them. Keeping silence himself, he allows them to say all they have to say and refrains from interrupting them unless they wander off to other matters. The physician advises them at the beginning of the examination to speak slowly in order that he may take down in writing the important parts of what the speakers say. And the footnote for this says, every interruption breaks the train of thought of the narrators, and all they would have said at first does not again occur to them in precisely the same manner after that. So here you see that it's a very free-flowing, the words of the patient are very free-flowing, and they come directly from their unconscious, from their total vital source. Here, Ingrid has posted a comment on the live chat. She says, individualization does not only mean psychic stuff, but very much the general physicals and the other parts of the person. She says, we can easily go wrong by impressions of personality. There we are most vulnerable by our own psychic matters. Therefore, the individualization by generals is so important. And she tells us to remember the words of Boninghausen. She learned the importance of the generals when she studied with the Indian doctors. Thank you so much for contributing to the conversation, Ingrid. I appreciate that. Yes. That is when he speaks in aphorism number 83 about our own personal prejudices and what we bring to the case. We need to really be clear and unbiased and be objective and not subjective. Be objective in determining what are those things that we are observing in the patient that are particularly unique to that individual. What is peculiar? What is odd? What is not quite normal? I mean, if somebody walks in and they're just blinking constantly, you know, they're probably going to bring it up. Or maybe they don't even know that they're doing it. But you would note down in your notes, you jot down that that person was doing a lot of blinking, and perhaps they would say something about the sunlight or keeping focus. Who knows what they would say, but you would take note of it. Ingrid reminds us that they have a lot of experience with the Indian homeopaths have a lot of experience with classical homeopathy and individualization. All individual symptoms and unusual individual symptoms, right? And we want to distinguish between what is normal for that individual and what is out of sync, what is not normal, what's unusual, what is the complaint that they walk in the door with, what is concerning them, what is bothering them. If they have a cold, how would they describe it? If their throat is hurting them, is it raw, rough, scratchy, painful, sticky, cutting? You know, you have all these different words to describe the discomforts and pains that we have, and the only way that we're going to find out really is by our powers of observation and by hearing what the patient has to say. So if you see that they are grimacing or wincing every time that they swallow saliva, or they're feeling better with drinking liquid, or it's impossible for them to drink liquid, these are all clues that we can jot down. And Hahnemann has told us that since he didn't have a computer and he couldn't type as fast as we can to intake the exact words, and we do want to take the exact words that the patient speaks and not transfer it right away into any other kind of language, just say verbatim the words of the patient. And so we have our computer, and a lot of people today also have videotaping of the client. And when they do that, they can always go back and review the exact words and the gestures and the postures of the patient. But when he was working, he would tell the patient, please speak slowly. And as a matter of fact, I also do that, especially when the person is very passionate, very excited, very into what they're talking about. They start to speak very rapidly, and you might ask them to please slow down so that you can get the information. The other thing that he says is that you should never interrupt when someone is speaking. And I find that this is true in many cases, but I find that using a little bit of guided imagery or suggestion enables the person to actually go back to where they were, to say to them, let's say, I'm going to ask you to please slow down so I can record the information as you speak it. And even though I've interrupted you, you can always go back to exactly the train of thought that you had. You can get back into the place that you were to explain and detail and talk about what it is you're speaking. And so maybe I would like to hear from others if they have the same experience with interruption. It's always best not to interrupt if you don't have to, if you're good at note-taking and shorthand and the way that you take your notes. That would be also interesting to find out how people take their notes. Well, there's just 1 minute left today in the radio show, and we've covered so many areas. I thank everyone for listening today. I'm wondering if I should end with a meditation, just saying, day by day, in every way, I'm getting better and better. And we can all say it to ourselves and actually speak it with our mouths, actually verbalize it and say it out loud. We don't even need to do it in our mind, but actually speak it and make it real in this world. Day by day, in every way, I'm getting better and better. One more time, everyone. Day by day, in every way, I'm getting better and better. And you know, as a physician, as a healthcare worker, as a provider, as a caretaker, you can use these words and you can say, with this remedy, every day, day by day, in every way, you are getting better and better. And bring the confidence into the remedy, into the care, into the interview process, into the vital force of the individual by empowering them with these meditations. I'm going to thank you so much for listening. The time is up, and I'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Who's Reading the Organon with homeopath Debbie Brook on Homeopathy World Community Blog Talk Radio. Remember to take the Organon off the shelf and read it.